You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." Easter is supposed to be a time of great joy, of alleluias, of flowers, of music, and of celebration. Easter, however, begins with fear. Great fear. Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. That's it. That's what fear is. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And so what's the false evidence that is appearing real on the first Easter? Well, Jesus had been beaten, hung on a cross, and murdered. And so that must mean that his ministry is over, right? It must mean that his movement is finished, that his cause must be done, that all hope must be lost. Easter begins with great fear, false evidence appearing so very real. But the goal of this sermon today is to replace that fear with faith. And so what is faith? F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I take him. And who is that him? Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus, our Redeemer, creates beauty from ashes. Remember that. Over these past 40 days at Trinity, we have been walking with Jesus to the places of the Passion. We've walked with Jesus to Bethphage and Bethany, the Mount of Olives, Gethsemane, the Judgment Hall, the Upper Room, Golgotha, and into the grave. And today we come into the cemetery, and like the women who came that first Easter morning, we come in fear. We begin with fear because that's how the first Easter begins. As much as we try to deny it or to fake it, we all live in fear, false evidence appearing real. We feel like there's a grizzly bear behind every corner, and it's just a matter of time until he leaps out of the shadows, bares his ugly fangs, and chews us up along with our family, our friends, and all of our finances. Fear whispers incessantly, "There's trouble out there." So we don't sleep well. We don't whistle while we work. And then what happens when we see others whistle while they work? Well, we give them a look. You know, the look. That, "Are you that naive?" look. You know, we scold them saying, "You know, haven't you read the news or heard the reports and seen the studies? Airplanes fall out of the sky, bull markets go bare, terrorists terrorize, good people turn bad, the other shoe will drop, the fine print will be found." Fear attacks us with two words. What if? You know, what if I don't close that sale? What if I don't get the bonus? What if she doesn't love me? What if my kids have crooked teeth? What if their crooked teeth keep them from having friends, a career, and a spouse? What if they end up homeless, sitting on a street corner, holding a cardboard sign that says, "My parents never fixed my crooked teeth"? Fear twists us into emotional pretzels, makes our eyes twitch and our blood pressure rise, our heads ache and our armpits sweat. And so we try to numb our fear, whether it's with six packs or food binges or too much TV. Or we express our fear with volcanic anger and silent stares, and we're expert at both. But what fear doesn't tell you is that there's a flip side to the what ifs. What if Jesus really did rise from the dead? What if Jesus really did what he said he would do? You know, five times in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says that he would rise from the dead. Five times Jesus says, I must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, be killed, and on the third day be raised. Five times Jesus says that. Still, the disciples choose fear over faith. They abandon Jesus on Thursday. Only one stands at the cross on Friday. And on Sunday, they all hide behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. It's so easy to choose fear. False evidence appearing real over faith. Forsaking all, I take him. Just ask Grisha Siklenko. In 1960, an amazing event occurred in a tiny village in the Ukraine. Grisha Siklenko appeared one day, much to the shock of his friends and neighbors, because everyone thought that he had died in World War II. Instead, though, that night he marched away to war. He went home where his mother had made a hiding place for him under a manure pile. And so for 18 years, he lived in manure. In the winter, he nearly froze to death. In the summer, he nearly suffocated to death. And finally, in 1960, he walked out of the manure expecting to be prosecuted, punished, and placed in prison. But his fears were groundless. The statute of limitations had long since expired. Fear does that. We end up living in manure. And what happens when fear causes you to live life in manure? Life stinks. Life really stinks. Wouldn't you rather live by faith? Then here is the angel's promise for you. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Right? Just as he said. What if Jesus did what he said he would do? Well, guess what? He did. What if you can trust what Jesus says? You can trust what Jesus says because he did what he said he would do. Jesus says, I took away your sin. I conquered death. I'm alive bodily and eternally, and I'm coming again to perfect your body and restore the entire creation. Fear be gone. Live by faith. Do you know what the most frequent command in the Bible turns out to be? What instruction, what order is given repeatedly by prophets, by angels, by Jesus, and by apostles? Maybe you think it's to be good or to be holy or to stop sleeping during the sermon. No. The most frequent command in the Bible is, do not fear. 365 times, one for each day of the year. And why is that? Well, because living in fear is like living in manure. Everything stinks. Faith. Forsaking all, I take him. I take Jesus. Jesus creates life from death, joy from sadness, and beauty from ashes. Do you have small children? Don't fear. Do you have teenagers? Don't fear. Has everything gone terribly wrong? Don't fear. Are you sick? Don't fear. Is your heart absolutely broken? Don't fear. Instead, let these six words go down into your deepest parts. I know that my Redeemer lives. What else is there left to say then but this? Forsaking all, I take him. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.